Welcome to the Lockean Podcast. This is episode 24 for Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. It's Star Trek Day, believe it or not. I didn't know this, but the very first episode of Star Trek, the original series, was broadcast on this day in 1966. So for all you Star Trek fans out there, I just want to say, get a life. No, seriously, I love it. What I want to say is live long and prosper. Okay, this show is a podcast. We're a little bit irreverent, I know, but because it's a podcast, that means you can get it in lots of places. There's a video stream on YouTube, there's Apple Podcasts, there's Spotify, there's everywhere else. And there's a website, thelockin.ie, where you can find everything pulled together and you can find all of the past episodes and information on how you can subscribe. My name's Conan Weenaghan, I work for Black Knight. Today, I'm talking to an Irish singer-songwriter who's just released a song from her new album, and there's an amazing video to go with it. The song is called Birdsong, and the singer is Emma Langford. Emma, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Emma, I love your new song. It's great to have you. We're going to listen to the song later, if that's okay with you. But first, can you tell me a little bit about it? What's the song about, and what inspired you to write it?
The song is about... I suppose, recognizing who you are, you know, down to the marrow of your bones, recognizing that person and acknowledging them and celebrating them. Literally, I wrote it as I was staring in the mirror at myself one day and feeling like rubbish. And I don't know, I tried on, you know, an outfit that I loved, and then I'd gone outside and felt sort of the eyes of judgment on me because, you know, I was lumpy and bumpy and didn't fit, you know, everything perfectly. And so it's kind of about body image. It's kind of about self-confidence, but mostly it's about self-worth. And it's about recognizing that who you are is more important than how you look. It was inspired by Noreen Ní Rian originally. And I'd actually forgotten about this until the past few days when I was asked about the song. I was sitting in class with her in, it must have been 2013 when I was studying in the Irish World Academy in UL. And she was talking to us. We were just studying Shan Nose and studying women's songs and all this kind of stuff. And she said about people that judge you, you know, they're like vultures. They'll eat you up and they'll come back for the bones. And that line of they'll eat you up and come back for the bones had this gorgeous rhythm to me. And it spoke to me in a way that I didn't maybe fully realize at the time. So I wrote the line down in a copybook, and I went away and it kind of resonated with me. And then 2016, I had that moment of self-doubt and uncertainty and not feeling good enough. And that line came back to me again. And I started sort of playing around with it and seeing what it was that it meant to me, and started just writing this stream of consciousness, huge block of text. And the song kind of emerged from there. And I decided I wanted it. What I wanted to achieve with the song was this women's walking song, this old folk tradition of women sitting around a table together, and this rhythm of kind of working together. So the chorus has that sort of sense to it. And then the verse, my initial idea had been that the verse would be sung by a different voice every time, leading the charge, this other voice stepping up where someone else got tired and taking over and singing this kind of guttural, tribal sort of story of how we're not going to relent, we're not going to back down, we're going to keep pushing on and keep working. So that's where it came from. And then I brought it to my producers last year while we were working on a new album, very unsure of myself, very uncertain about whether or not we would do anything with this song because it's so different to anything I'd released before. And they loved it. And we decided together that we were going to reach out to various women who had inspired me and whose voices I loved and who were, you know, powerful in their own right in different industries, different areas, and ask them to be part of the song as well. So I actually, the melody was very inspired by Annie Lennox. So I actually contacted her publicist at the time to ask if there was any chance of getting Annie Lennox to sing on it. And unfortunately, we never heard back from her. But we did get a tribe of six incredible women vocalists who all stepped up and recorded beautiful parts that created this really powerful choral sound. And I just love how it turned out. delighted with it.
It's so funny you should mention Annie Lennox now that you, do. I'm thinking it would suit her so well, that particular song, and I'd love to hear her voice on it. In the meantime, that was 4 years ago you wrote it. Now it's on your latest album. And in the meantime, there's been, I suppose, a movement that has come to the fore, and a number of movements. One of them is the Me Too movement, which has been echoed in the Irish traditional and folk music community as Misha Fosta. And as well as that, there's also been a movement for gender balance in Irish traditional music, which is the Fair Play movement. And you've decided to dedicate the song and as a salute to the women of those movements here in Ireland.
Yeah, it was actually a really beautiful process. It was kind of a stars aligning type thing that happened there. I wasn't sure what my last single was going to be before the album came out. And this song felt so distinctive and so... it had such a powerful message for me that even though it was so different to what I'd released before, I knew this was the one I wanted to put out to showcase this side of what I do musically. And then I was trying to figure out what to do with the music video, and I spoke to a few different people who all had beautiful ideas, and Jess Lean came to me, or Jessica Courtney Lean is her full name. She came to me with this fabulous idea that she visualized the minute she heard the song, because she's a vocalist on it as well. And so she outlined her video idea, and I was... you know, the things, you know, the what's the word? The penny dropped, and I realized that what I wanted to do, the more I thought about it, was actually, yeah, vocalize my solidarity for these women in the Fair Play and Misha Fosta movement through the video, through the song, and through releasing the song at this time, and giving it its own lease of life and bringing their kind of their plight to the world in a way.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned the video, because the video contributes so much to the song, Emma, and I hadn't heard the song before, but when I saw the video you released last week to go with it, and it's an extraordinary... I mean, there are so many, if you like, iconic music videos that it's very difficult to imagine the song without the music video. This just looks like it was... born fully formed, and came along with the song. That, which is interesting to me, and something I've always wondered, if you're writing a song, do you have images in mind as well, or was this a later contribution by Jessica? Because we're going to show the video later on, and people will see this for themselves. The images, this image of the young girl, the inner child, all of this that's in this video, it's a perfect match. Did you have images like that in mind, or was that all from Jessica?
So what happened with the video was, it was a really interesting process of working together in collaboration. And that's what I try to aim for with every music video I release. I find it very hard to imagine ever releasing a song without a music video. It just seems like an abstract idea to me. And when I was writing the song, yeah, I had my own mental images. I always have a very clear kind of a mental image in my head of what the song is about and what the character of the song is. I suppose... originally a visual artist, that's where I started out in visual art and theatre and storytelling, and then music came later. So that's my process, really. But no, I didn't have this exact image in my head. I mean, my image had always been women sitting around. What's wound up happening is, for me, when I watched the music video the first time and Leela walks in to the abbey for me feels like women standing around her and bringing her in and leading her to where she needs to be. For me, it looks and sounds like the abbey, the voices are emanating from the walls of the abbey.
Yeah.
And it's got this, and then she looks to the tree and the voice is coming from the tree. And it's, you know, because of the echo of the song, the ambience of the song and the natural resonance of a space like that.
Yes.
It makes perfect sense that the music is coming almost out of the earth to her. Which it just makes, as you say yourself, it feels like it comes fully formed. Mm. And now I can't possibly imagine someone hearing the song and not seeing the video. Mm.
there's that sense that the child is the heir to all of these women that have gone before her, and all of their tradition and their strength and all of that as well. It's extraordinary. And of course, there's dance in it as well. And it's something that really comes out listening to the song, is the strong rhythm that's in it. And then, of course, you have an element of dance in there as well. well, which is absolutely fantastic. It's
She's a fabulous dancer. I was blown away by that. Initially, when I saw the music video, we went through a few different iterations of the video. And initially, the dance had been slowed down a lot more. You saw some more kind of dramatic slow motion movements and stuff. And we decided together that actually what Leela had choreographed, because she's such a hard worker herself, she's brilliant. When Jessica asked Leela to be part of the video, Leela went away to her academy, her dance academy, and asked them to work with her to choreograph a piece especially for the song, which I was just blown away by. Like, she's such a diligent worker, and that's really going to stand to her in the future. That dance piece is just gorgeous, and I really wanted to see it full speed and really get the impact of the full force of how brilliant she is as a dancer. So yeah, it perfectly matches the song, and I love it.
So much work has gone into this, Emma, from your collaborators and from yourself as well. I'm sitting here at home. So many other fans are out there sitting at home. It all streams into us for free on YouTube and Facebook and the whole lot, and we don't pay a cent for it. I was listening to a podcast recently, and an Irish musician was interviewed, and he was saying, years ago there used to be a thing called record companies. Now, not that record companies were always, were an ideal model either, but there was a well-understood model there, a business model there for a music industry. Now there is a lot of concern that there isn't that now, and while in many ways it's easier for musicians to break through if they have the talent and build that following online, it is a very challenging time. I saw you play last year, Emma, and I know that you do a lot of gigs, but obviously that's not an option anymore. How can fans, is my question for you, how would you as a musician like fans who appreciate and want to show their appreciation for your work, how can we help you make a living?
My mother will always commend me on my brazenness, my willingness to ask for help, and my ability to find what I need when I need it. So I've always innovated my way around obstacles, basically. What I've been doing in the past year and a half, is I've been using Patreon to create a community around my work and around what I do, all of it. And that actually is a really gorgeous way for people to contribute to some of their favorite artists. It's a monthly pledge of, some people give $1, some crazy amazing people give $25 a month, which is mad. And people can do a yearly donation as well. And it's a way of just ensuring that I can keep doing what I'm doing. I can keep putting music videos up on YouTube without charging anyone to watch them. And I can keep doing live streams without charging anyone to access them. So that's a nice way. And outside of that, just buying CDs. I know that, like, streaming on Spotify, I know it's a bit of a contentious topic. I do actually really appreciate people using Spotify to access my music, just purely because it means they're listening to the music all the time. And that's really nice. And I really love that. So I'll never begrudge anyone that. But I would say, just buy the record either virtually or digitally or physically, or join up on Patreon and do it. And also just engage, actually. Do you know what? Like, knowing that people are listening and getting people commenting and responding and sharing, it reminds you that what you're doing isn't falling on deaf ears, and you actually do have an engaged and interested audience. And like, that is enough motivation to keep doing it a lot of the time, even if you're, pulling out your empty pockets cartoon style some days. If you've got an audience there and a group of people that are enjoying it, that does push you along quite a bit.
Are you hopeful that you'll be able to gig again or play live? How has COVID impacted you that way, Emma? I mean, you must find yourself with more time in your hands in one way, but obviously there's less opportunity to play.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I suppose with the time that I found on my hands when I wasn't on the road and touring and gigging, it was actually really good for me, because I'm someone who doesn't necessarily like being on the road all the time. Much as I love being on stage and I love connecting with people and meeting people, my social battery depletes very quickly. So I quite enjoyed having the time. And with that extra time, I was able to find new ways to get my album out to people. I was able to find ways to create new merch, and I was using that time quite
a
bit.
Good.
And outside of that, I suppose, I mean, I was doing lots of corporate gigs, virtual live streams. A lot of my activity is online anyway, so it didn't come as too much of a shock to the system. And I'm actually getting back on stage very soon. So I'm going to be playing a gig in Castlebar on the 12th to 35 people. And then I'll be playing two gigs in Cork on the 26th to, I think each gig has 26 people come into it. So so there's that, you know, I'm getting back on stage. It's gradual. We're finding ways. I mean, I really feel like the government needed to ask the creative industries from the get-go how we were going to manage this before trying to come up with a plan themselves. Because if there's one thing that the music industry can do, it's find ways around issues.
Yeah.
Like, we have always done it and we always will. Mm. And we're very strategically minded. So they just needed to ask.
Very good. Well, where can people find out more, Emma? You have an album out, you have a CD available to buy and all of that. Where should people go?
If people want to come to emmalangfordmusic.bandcamp.com, they'll be able to buy all the records there. But the hub, I suppose, is emmalangfordmusic.com. Everything is, you know, you can find everything, social media and everything from there. So,
great.
Yeah.
And information about the gigs as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. Emma, thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks so much, Con.
Great. That's Emma Langford, our guest on the podcast today. The lockin.ie is where you can find out more if you want to subscribe or, as I say, view some past episodes of that. We'll also include links to Emma Langford's website there as well, emmalangfordmusic.com, and to the video. In fact, we're going to feature, if you're watching the video right now and if you're listening to the audio podcast, we're going to feature it. So here's Emma Langford and her great collaborators. And this is Birdsong.
Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, here I stand, I am strong as my bones. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. Then, only then, I am all self-doubt. All my will and my won't fly out of my mouth. Like a little white dove that you've trained so well to sing prettily along to another bird's song. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. Meanwhile, I'm tall, I am towering above. All your hate in your soul can't undo this self-love. Like a little white dove that will soar on the wind, proudly bruising my lungs with the songs I have sung. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. I'll beat my breast, cry a great fearsome cry. See a cavalry then as I fly high. And when I am done, oh, I'll swoop on down. Seeking those eyes of judgment, I'll peck them out. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, only then, I am strong as my bones. But for now I belong to no beast, man, or thing. My own self is my own, I am strong as my bones. Like a fierce bird of prey that knows only the hunt. With a strength you don't know how your pretty birds flown. Till your eyes find me, I'm strong as my bones. Till then, no.